December 20, 2022, it's the Watt for Pedro show.
Which tenor players do you think have influenced you, if any at all?
All of them. I would say all of them. But,
do you have a personal favorite, I mean, like you put on a record when you were at home and relaxing and so on?
Well, Sonny Rollins is, I think he's an outstanding tenor man today, you know. And,
That's
usually
what Sonny Rollins called me on this show about you. So
that's usually, you know,
to
my
be
man.
Our mutual,
you know,
admiration society.
Yeah,
here.
Well, he's great. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the formative days,
well,
like years ago, it was Dexter Gordon that actually was. I mean,
you do have a strong feeling for tradition, haven't you?
I guess so. I mean, I would like to even make it stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to strengthen my roots, so to say, you know, because I didn't start at the beginning, and there's a whole lot back there that's, you know, that all young musicians should have.
Watch for Pedro show. Brother Matt, I made it around the sun. Another time, 65th.
Happy birthday, brother.
I'm starting up the 65th, right?
Yeah, right on. Okay. Made it. Happy birthday.
Medicare land.
Yeah.
Get that fucking knee. We start with John Coltrane. John Coltrane getting asked about which tenor sax players have influenced him by Carl Eric Lindgren on March 22nd, 1960. And then we had Maurice doing No Exit.
Yep.
Yeah, you can hear people. It's not just me and Brother Matt at the Love Grotto by ourselves because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. All the way from Chicago, Illinois, where I was conceived, 65 moons.
And 9 months.
There we go. David Paho, welcome aboard, David.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Wad. It's a huge honor.
Now, you've been SoCal for a while now, but you had to make a little trip because you were a part of a big celebration for Mr. Steve Albini.
Nice.
That's right. He's been doing this Letters to Santa. He and his wife have been doing this Letters to Santa program. And so that's, do you know anything about that? Or is
no.
Like, have you heard?
Well, I remember he gets a buttload, right? They all sent to the North Pole and shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess they, at some point, they discovered that when kids write letters to Santa, to the North Pole, they, you know, so they just end up in a pile and thrown away, you know. But his wife, I think, had been going through them and found out that it was there's a lot of poverty and like kids are talking about their problems, like, you know, their dad lost their job and their bridge doesn't work, things like that. And so they started this program where they raise money, and then on Christmas Day they surprise the families with, you know, if their fridge broke, they get them a new fridge, or, you know, they just help out these families by giving them exactly what they're lacking, you know?
Right.
And it's a really cool thing, and they've been doing it for a long time.
That's beautiful.
Like 20 years or something. So this is my first time to be a part of it. I just got a connection
with the Chicago scene. We'll get to that. What I'd like from you right now, David, is your earliest musical recollection, please.
My earliest? Oh. I think...
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Okay, because it's a little embarrassing. I think it was a disco version of the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Wow, that's a unique one.
It was a symbol, and I don't know how I heard
it. It's a Klingon. It's a mental Klingon. It's clinging on.
Yeah.
But, okay, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
We had a piano, and that was it. But
Did you go through the ordeal? Well, some people it was a good thing, but a lot of cats we've had on the show, it almost made them want to quit music. Did you have to go through the piano lesson trip?
I did, yeah. And how did it work out for you? I wasn't into the lessons or practicing, but I love to, you know, hit it and make noise.
We found out that most people, the problem isn't the idea of getting lessons or pianos, it's the teacher. Mm-hmm. Brother Matt, teacher of the year many times here, bitching, you know, when radio went... Brother Matt got into radio, and it went mersh and lame, so he got into teaching. He ended up being a real good one. But there's skills to learn about. Not anybody can do it.
Yeah, like coaching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Notice how most coaches ain't good players.
Right.
Or they're okay, but they're not superstars. Mm.
That wasn't a good student.
Going to go, you Brother Matt. So you didn't end up hating music, but you got some lessons in. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
It was Houses of the Holy. Yeah. That was my first record.
Led Zeppelin. And what was the first gig you went and saw?
My first actual gig, that's also pretty embarrassing. It was that Canadian band Triumph.
That was a Canadian version of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Exactly, yeah.
It was a power trio, but with an organ instead of a guitar.
Yeah.
That's all right, good. Man. And see, I ask these questions because you usually didn't don't have a lot of choice, like buying your own, with your own money. You ain't got a lot of money when you're a kid. So that's why I asked those things. Now, what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was. I was in the marching band, and I played the bass drum, which I, you know, I wanted it to be a snare drummer or play the toms, but I got the bass drum, which was fine.
Bass clef. We're into that. In fact, after the show today, I go up to my prac pad outside. This cat named Eric, who moved to Pedro from, I think, West Mass, a friend of Byron Cole's, he's got this thing he calls a Tootie Pacifico because he had a Tootie thing over there where he's just getting people to learn woodwind and brass.
Oh, wow.
So that baritone horn I got on tour in the late 80s and never learned, Watts finally learning how to use it. And goddamn, trying to get the same note twice. You know, a lot of it ain't the vowels.
It's like
a lot
lips.
Of it's off the lip. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's tough.
Oh, man.
It's so there's a lot of honking. I can't play wind instruments. A lot of honking going on.
How much fun? There's some honking. I'm just trying to do Willie Dixon's Spoonful. Uh-huh. If I could get that bass line.
Oh, yeah.
Home. And then the other, the flute and shit. They're wee-woo. Yeah, another bitching thing.
I love that.
A couple
song.
Days ago, Saturday, Perk's son Eden had his bar mitzvah. I went to that. Wow. There was a lot of singing, hand clapping.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, I learned a word. Baruch. Nagila? Per did a prayer with him, and he kept saying Baruch. So I looked in the, you know, because they got books, prayer books. And, oh, blessing. So I learned it.
Yeah, how about Nagila play?
So, the hora. That's the dance they do.
That's rocking.
Yeah, they did the circle. Good job, too. Yeah, so the last one I was at, me and D. Boone played at Richie Weisswasser. He might have been maybe a little older. But Mark was in ours, and he played drums. They shut the glass doors, but it's been 50 years. It was 15 years old, so the book.
Speaking of Willie Dixon, I went to his pad. He showed me that drawer of songs that he never got to. Yeah. What the heck happened to those? I wonder.
He never recorded them, right?
They got to exist someplace.
Yeah, Brother Matt had a blues show in KXLU, a Jesuit school here. And he got to go to Willie Dixon's pad. This is a bass man who was an incredible songwriter besides the bass man.
He
also
went
to jail for
not
going to war, like Sun Ra. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, back to David and your musical journey. David, so you got on the kick drum. That's your first, you had some piano before that. You got on the kick drum. What about the stuff after school, not graduate, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the garage band, the bedroom band? Did you get into that?
Oh, we were probably similar. I don't know if you were like this too, but like when I was once I discovered rock music and I was obsessed with guitars and I would just draw guitars, you know, and I was obsessed with drums and I would always play drums on my school desk and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wanted a drummer.
Pedro, I hear the big thing was with your knuckles doing Wipeout.
the solo and
Wipeout on the bench, you know, the knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was big here, too. Well, I got into music. You know, I was 12 years old when I met D. Boone. It was to be with him. His mom said we were going to have a band together. Right, the day I met her, right, the second day I met D. Boone, she goes, you guys are going to have a band, and you're going to play bass. And I didn't even know what a fucking bass was. I was 12. It was the summer before I was 13. And so, you know, maybe a little... But I wasn't really looking at the music part of it. I just wanted to be with D. Boone. So sure, I'll learn this thing. I don't even know what the fuck it is. Actually, I played a guitar for 3 years with only 4 strings because I didn't know. You know, the gigs we went to, there was no club scene yet till the movement for us. So I didn't know that basses actually had bigger strings.
Wait, but did
I'm
you?
I'm such a fucking ignorant motherfucker. Yeah, go ahead.
Were you playing then before? Or like playing in music before D. Boone?
Yeah, I was into it. In fact, when I met D. Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence Clearwater Revival. So I had sent in a dime for the Columbia House. And they gave me 10 8-track tapes. I turned them on to Cream, to T-Rex. T-Rex was the first gig we went and saw.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I was getting 8-tracks in which, by the way, are very hard to learn on because there's no needle to lift. You have to wait for the motherfucker to come. They take
clunk.
The total time and they'd split in four,
clunk
right?
In the
and then,
middle.
Yeah, the clunk would come right in the middle. Yeah, yeah.
Look, then they'll fade out your song like
Right. Because it was an endless, it was a piece of tape that they glued together to make a loop, you know. And that's why it was called 8-track because it's stereo. So there was 4 different programs and they would click right when it was the quarter time. You gave me some Slint. I want to play Washer.
remember me as you fall to sleep. Fill your pockets with the dust of the memory that rises from the shoes on my feet. I won't be back here. Dark outside. Don't be afraid. Every time I ever cried for fear, it's just a mistake that I made. Wash yourself in your tears and build your church on the strength of your faith. of tonight, dreamlessly. My head is empty, my toes are warm. I am safe from home.
Laser Fetish. Snatch Beat. Laser Fetish. Tanker Loaf, Tweezer Fetish, Snatch Beast.
Watch for Pedro. That chunk of music started off with Slint doing Washer, then King Kong, which has a Slint Connect, people. Dirty City, Rainy Day. After that, Sky Furrows with Point That Thing Somewhere Else, which is a chill song. No, clean song. New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And they just lost their drummer, man, right? Mm-hmm. 65 years old. A cat named Hamish. And this was Sky Furrows, live at 10 Forward in Greenville, Massachusetts. It's an excerpt. Crypto Phaser after that with Wet Brain. Watch your drinking. The Wet Brain. I remember I heard somebody saying that at a Carnage Asada song. Oh. Right? Steve Reed was playing with Carnage Asada. And like one of the singer men, George, they said Wet Brain. I thought they just made that shit up, but it's an actual, it's from boozing, right? Ah. Yeah. Okay. Mike Eckstein. Yeah, I found this from like 8-9 years in the mail pile. Sorry, Mike, a little delay of game there. 10 yards. Okay. Can't Shake It. Beautiful music, though. Boba Stereo Club and M. Takara with Abre Camijo. I guess it's the Portuguese, the Brazilian. Tobacco. Now, this ain't the new album, but he's got a brand new album, Mr. Tom, out of Pittsburgh. But this is from a movie thing he did just recently called Blimp, and this tune is Blimp City. Hidden Forces Trio out of Spain after that with Raul Catanzaro. We've told you before. Soft White Underbelly. People, this is the band that became the Blue Oyster Cult. And this is a demo they made for Elektra that, well, they never signed it.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's called Fantasy Morass. He didn't have, they had a different singer and bass player. So it's got three of the guys, Eric Bloom, not Eric Bloom, he ain't in the band yet. It's got Al Lanier, Albert Bouchard, and who's the tall guy.
Buck Dharma was a
yeah. Buck Dharma, Albert Bouchard, but the guy they went to college with, Al Lanier. Yeah. In fact, we've lost him. Same thing. I got my ma COPD.
Oh.
Yeah. Fucked up. Roger Clark Miller. This is the Mission of Burma man. With Dream Interpretation number 20, made this record of all him just on guitar and pedals making these kind of dreamy things. Out of Iowa, Sam Locke Ward, Bob Bucko Jr. with If, Rob Dobbins Beck with Ascension, but it ain't the John Coltrane one, or it's a trippy version if it is. And then finally, Slint with Pat. Now you got something to enlighten us with regard to Slint right there, David?
Yeah, well, that first thing you played, the Maurice track, which, you know, is like, it's like distorted and has weird time signatures and stuff. And
yeah.
Has feedback and heavy. The song Pat that Slint did was, that was our Minutemen song, you know, back in, that was like, we stopped playing with I stopped playing with distortion, and I was like, I want to play like, you know, that was my attempt at trying to write
Slints saw Minutemen at Jockey Club, right? Was it Brent?
Yeah, Britt. Both Britt and I and our...
saw it too, David? Okay.
Yeah, well, I was
so
there.
You saw that show, yeah. It rained real heavy that night is what I remember.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I don't... It's weird. I don't remember any of the weather, but I just...
Well, it was a cloud burster, man. I mean, it was intense coming down. And that was an old pad. It had old... tin roof overhead and little Tyler's. I remember it, and weird old guys hung out there too.
Totally.
You could not play in Cincinnati. You had to play across the river in Newport, Kentucky. I remember one time we're playing there and there's going to be election. So, you know, there's flyers like gigs. Huh. This guy's running for jailer. Like I can imagine some dude growing up, you know, one day I'm going to be the jailer of this town. Okay, let's get back to your music journey. So, you're drawing pictures of guitar. When do you get your first guitar?
Well, I was into guitar, but I never played it or never thought I could play it. I was more into drums. And then when I was 13, I got my first drum kit. It was a Pearl.
Oh, okay, Pearl, like Kiss, Peter Criss.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I played that, and then I got
it. Now, where'd you practice? Did you practice at home?
Yeah, just in my parents' basement. They had
That's pretty bitching of them, right?
Yeah. Oh, they were.
Usually cool. You buy it for somebody else's kids, so it drives them insane. And usually, remember I asked you about the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band? It's usually at Drummy's house, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to fucking build the kit and tear it down every time.
The band comes to you.
Yeah.
But that's I asked my mom about that, how she had let me have these loud band practices and stuff, and she was like, "Well, at least I knew you were home and not getting
into
trouble."
You know what? That is a trip, David, because that's exactly what Dean Boone's ma said. One of the neighbors.
Really?
I mean, this is Proj part of Pedro, called Park Western at the time. It was housing actually for workers during World War II building ships. Todd Shipyard. Then they built some new projects next to it. Now they're condos, brother. Yeah. Can you believe that
crazy.
Shit? Yeah, cracker box, stucco cracker boxes. But I had to move there because my pop, I couldn't live in the Navy housing anymore because my pop got stationed up in Alameda because the Enterprise was our first nuke aircraft carrier. He was a machinist mate that trained with that kind of engine room. So anyway, that's how I meet D-Boom because Peck Park joins both our projects, okay? Anyway, his neighbor was... You know, Projects usually ma's run them, and they're pretty strong. Mm. Anyway, she goes to D. Boone's ma, man, how can you stand all that noise? And she goes, at least I know where my boy is. Same thing as you, David. Okay. It's Econo child care. Okay, so what are the first units that you... Do you guys make a band, or is it like just jamming, trying to copy songs off records, or how do you get started on this? Did you have a drum teacher?
No, I never took lessons for drums or guitar.
So you played along the records? You know, George Hurley, it was two records, Billy Cobham, Spectrum, and Who, Can't Explain, My Generation, that one.
Oh, wow.
He got heads, and he bought some headphones. He just played these two records, and... That's why he's got such a weird style. Billy Cobham and Keith Moon.
That's super cool. But never.
And especially with the hi-hat shit. I mean, he was all over that with the Billy Cobham. I saw Mahavishnu with Billy Cobham. They played at the Long Beach Arena. They curtained off. They had an anti-cave device.
Yeah, I remember they used to do the curtains there.
Damn.
So, boy, it's packed in here. They had the curtain almost right up against the stage. Pure Food and Drug Echo. I think it was Harvey Mandel. So, okay, so you're Man Alone at first, or do you right away start playing with cats?
Oh, I would play on my own, and then sometimes friends from school would come over and like play. But then it wasn't until like a year later I got a cheap electric guitar, and it turned out I was better at that.
Like, oh, I just picked
it up really.
Oh, yeah. So you got, so after about a year of drums, you thought, man, maybe I should try something else musical?
Yeah, well, I just ended up, I don't know why, I just always wanted a guitar, and it just was way easier for me for
some
reason.
What was your first guitar?
It was a Hondo II Les Paul copy.
Hondos, I remember Hondos. Crane played a Hondo.
You know, you do?
Yeah. He was like kind of embarrassed because he put aluminum foil over the headstock, so you couldn't tell it was a Hondo, except it looked totally like a Hondo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and what was your first amp?
It was less than $100.
And your first amp?
My first amp was a little 10-watt like practice.
Yeah,
amp
right.
Thing.
Everybody but does that.
It was tube. I think it was made by Guild.
Okay. Okay.
But it was great because if you turned it all the way up, you got instant feedback.
Distortion, which took us years. We didn't know about fuzz boxes for years. We thought it was some studio trick. God, these guys got these sounds off the Master Reality record and shit. You know, Paranoid. You know, how'd they get this sound? We didn't know about these boxes. You know? But you're right. The little amps, they would distort if you overpowered them. Really, that's tricky. You find that. What about composing? Did you compose tunes, or were you learning off records like me and D Boone?
I was just learning off records, but it was kind of good that way. I'm glad I did because I kind of trained my ear to be so. It's really easy for me to learn songs now just by listening, you know. Because I had a turntable that had four speeds on it. It had a 16, 33. Another type of 33 and then 78 it was really weird. It was a really old.
Well, it could play a lot of different ones. No 45 though.
Oh, 45 too.
Yeah.
And then,
but 16, you could slow it down so you could learn that Black Dog riff.
Yeah. I could learn like the Cream solos and stuff. Like I could, I remember I would play the live Cream album.
Well, there's two volumes. I had both those eight tracks, Tales of Brave Ulysses, Deserted Heart of the Sun. It was on the way. That's what Clapton said about Jack Bruce. He taught me how to sing with my chest. Mm. Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. December 20. What day is that? 2022 edition. Wap Peter, so special guest, David Pajo. Hold tight for hour two. December 20, 2022. It's the second hour. What from Peter?
face was flushed and timid. He stared at the captain through frightened eyes. The captain reached for something to hold on to.
"Help me,"
he whispered as he rose slowly to his feet. The boy's face went pale. He recognized the sound. Silently, he pulled down the shade against the shadow. Lost in the doorstep of the empty house. "I'm trying to find my way home. I'm sorry. I miss you."
Sugar twist, a bear claw, and old fashioned. Anytime you find it's hopeless, always know you can escape. Most times you'll find them open, cause they're mostly open late. Come away from all your troubles when you see six letters shine. D-O-N-U-T-S, it's our beacon in the night. Come inside, it'll be alright. There's too many tears upon the tabletops and donut shops. They're running down onto the floors. There's too many tears upon the tabletops and donut shops. They're running down onto the floors, on the floors, on the floors. So have a coffee and a cruller, jelly-filled or chocolate sprinkled. Think about where everything went. A maple bar custard, Boston cream, or any other. Think about where everything went wrong. Think about where everything went wrong. Think about where everything went wrong.
I built this house that I'm still living in. People tell me I ought to move out, but I'm not giving in. Even though there's a hole in the roof and the rain comes in, at least when I walk down the hall, I know where I'm going and where I've been. This house I'm living in. I guess I didn't raise the roof beams high. Well, not such a skilled carpenter. The floorboards creak underneath my feet. Ah, but at least it's a familiar place, and life here is basically sweet. Or at least bittersweet. That I'm still living in. people tell me I ought to move out, but I'm not giving in. This old house I'm living in.
Hear this, but the fox isn't taunting you. I know you can't see this, but they're looking for you in the breeze. And the ghosts in the hallway, they want to know when you'll be back. They crack the floorboards like you, like you, like you. I know you can't see this, but your space isn't leased with the sun. And there's no longer a witness to the way the air blows. And the ghosts in the hallway, well, they're waiting to play. They wail and are lost, like you, like you. I know you can't hear this, but you made it all right. Strange way to feel about a sound silhouette. And I know that you're guarding the ghosts with your noise. It only hurts because I can't hear it. I know that you're guarding the ghosts with your noise. It only hurts cause I can't hear it.
steps inside, where the ageless engraver inscribes what now I know. Ink from the rose for the eulogies written on pages now seen gone. And come to us down from them. I praise the backlash, heal my head.
Big
Ben. Watch the Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Slint again doing Good Morning, Captain. And then we had the Minutemen, 1983, live at the East Side Club in Philly. George almost got stabbed by one of the bouncers.
Damn.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Rough patch. Yeah. And this is Joy. Now, when I got to play with David at the beginning of September for Lance Bang's 50 B-Day.
Oh, awesome.
It was up in, right near Canner's. I had chopped liver sandwich right before. But anyway, David wanted us to learn this tune. Him and Britt came in, came down to Pedro and practiced with me. We ended up doing a Jesus Lizard tune and Corona, D-Boone song. But he wanted us to learn Joy. And I was into it. I hadn't played in a while. But, then at the last minute, we didn't do it right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we ended up doing something with the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah singer.
Yeah, we did the
Human Fly. Human Fly. Mm.
Yeah.
The Cramp song, yeah. Almighty yeah. Pop after that with Tabletops and Donut Shops. Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with This House via Birmingham, Alabama. Sonny Blunt. The House I'm Living In. Sam Cutting after that. Ghost in the Hallway. Tortoise. Whoa.
That might be a...
You know what? He knows the knock. That's got to be fucking dirt. He just did the old SST knock. I mean, I ain't heard that... You know, we had a knock, right? So the umbrage.
What was that?
Well, when somebody's at the hatch, you know, make sure it's correct. Hey. Hello. Salute.
Hello there.
Okay. Tortoise. Okay. Me and Kate got to do a dose song. I think it was Corn Pone. We even put our basses on it. They just wanted a remix. But this had Doug, right? And Bundy. And
yeah,
the
that's right.
Early Doug versions. Comes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Glass Museum. Bob Pollard after that. It's every other month, so a new album, right? Folded Claws. This guy is prolific beyond belief. Larry Zoku Metsu after that, Undulations. Larry Boast out of Grants Pass, Southern Oregon.
Right on. Caveman.
Grants Pass, right. Birthday Man.
Hey, Larry.
I think he wrote this tune for us. Yeah, another Larry. Noising Up the Grease. Ray Shin out of Reno. And then finally, some more Tortoise. Tin Cans and Twine. Okay, so you're on the guitar now, and you're teaching yourself stuff, learning off records. No steady band yet, right? Just dudes from school jamming with you.
Yeah.
When did you put together your first or become part of your first band, Dave?
Well, the I guess for some reason I picked up guitar really fast, and then I immediately started playing with some people that needed a guitar player and we just did like Led Zeppelin covers and Rush songs and stuff. And then I knew about punk rock cause my brother was into it. My older brother, I was into like Dead Kennedys and Pistols and Clash and all that stuff. But I thought it was really funny. Like to me, I thought it was like they had a sense of humor that I really liked. But I didn't know about the deeper stuff.
What was your first punk gig?
My first punk gig was actually just a local band. This band
that's
called
Malignant Growth. You know what? Most punk was kind of local, right? There was some big touring acts, but actually it was pretty local, yeah.
Yeah. It was this local band called Malignant Growth. They'd opened for Minor Threat a couple times. And so they played hardcore, just straight hardcore, and they were great.
The dancing and the short songs? Because that's what blew me away when first gig I saw was the Bags at the Whiskey a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. Compared to arena rock shows, it was just so much different.
I felt like, my life changed immediately, It was like.
So did you make a punk band right away?
Yeah, I ended up in that band Maurice that had already been a band, but they lost their guitar player, so he went on to be in this other band, Squirrel Bay, and so I just...
I remember those cats, the Italian guys I played with David Grubbs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're the Mad Nile. Yeah, yeah, it's small world. Whoa.
It is. That was when I started playing punk, and like these were people that I could get along with, and it was just like a family of outcasts, a dysfunctional family of misfits, So, and I could relate because I never fit in with like the metal crowd or the hard rock crowd or any scene really, but the punk crowd is like, everybody's just themselves.
Yeah.
I really like that. And that's one of the reasons I love the Minutemen is because you guys could keep up with the hardcore stuff. You know, you guys were very much into that
world. Yeah, we were in a weird place, you know, because we learned from the 70s Hollywood punk. But then by the time we're doing gigs, that's gone. And there's only young scene in the suburbs, hardcore.
Yeah.
So we got our feet in both streams, kind of. It was a strange.
Yeah.
The Minutemen was kind of a strange place, the circumstance. Because we thought we were doing like all that stuff we were seeing up in Hollywood, and then also the records we were getting, right? Because a lot of these bands you never saw, you only knew them by their records. And
absolutely.
It was all over the fucking place. Robin Gristle, you know, pop group, Wire. I mean, to us, the idea of not sounding like the same hardcore band, because we weren't really from that tradition. Now, we weren't against the hardcore guys or anything. And I can imagine being 13 years old and having to go to junior high school or high school and get shit for being a punker from, you know, stoners or any kind of people acting thuggish on you. So, you know, I I've had a lot of heart for them because what a bunch of, at least I was a civilian as far as that. Mm. At college, I had to, like, hide it. I didn't let anybody know. But it's trippy about that. So, what was the first Maurice gig for you? Can you remember the first Maurice gig that you did?
First Maurice gig? I think it was just a party or something.
That's all right. Gig's a gig.
But it was, but my first practice with them, like, I had already learned all their songs before. They didn't know that. Like, they were just, so when I came in to do the first practice, it was like, we just played a whole set, you know.
Because
I'd already figured out the songs at home.
Look, people, listeners, listen to that. You want to get in a band, this is what you do. Learn the shit. Don't show up there like with your fucking head up and yang. Learn the stuff.
You got to do.
You know, I heard that's what Elliot Randall did for that Reeling in the Years. Yeah, it's the second take. Well, it's actually the first take. The guy forgot to hit the record button. Jimmy Page's favorite solo. Mm. But he was at home prepared for it. Even though it's only one take in the studio. And do an Ampeg SVT. That's great strategy. So you impressed, you wowed him, huh? Okay.
Well, I guess I didn't even mean to. I just thought that's what you did. I was like, I can't go to the
practice. I think that's excellent ethics, though.
Yeah. I like that there was no rules, really, back then. And you kind of made your own rules.
Well, me and who's the blondie guy? Clem Burke. We practiced the whole first Ramones album, right, for a month. And we go up there because Joey's brother Mickey puts on this benefit on his birthday for lymphoma every year. And Gina Chrome comes up there. You don't know what the other thing is. He's going to jam through this thing. Luckily, a young kid knew. I knew he felt bad about that. And, you know, it's simple, but you still got to know the shit. And actually, Ramones is kind of trippy. It's not really blues. It was great to learn their stuff. And Klein was such a bitching guy to learn with. He'd drive down from Studio City a couple times a week, and he's a beautiful guy to play with. Beautiful.
You played with Clem Burke? I didn't even realize this.
For this gig, I'm telling you about. And then Gina didn't learn any of it. He's just going to jam. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's got their own way of like, coming together, I guess. So that, but you can't remember the first gig. That you guys ended up recording, right? Because it sounds like it's a studio.
The Maurice thing, that was just a jam box. Our singer was friends with Glenn Danzig, and Glenn asked him for a tape to hear what we sounded like, and so we recorded this one of our practices, and so we ended up supporting Samhain on one of their tours.
I played with Samhain, in fact, at the Metro on Clark Street. Yeah, it was this little band that Glenn had in between Misfits and then just Glenn.
Yeah.
And I think one of the guys' name was Scary or Eerie.
Eerie
Vaughn.
Yeah.
That's a name.
Scary's better, though. I like that.
And how long were you in Maurice?
That was, we broke up in 86. Well, we actually split into two bands after that, because it's all because of the Minutemen, because we played really loud with Distortion. And then when I got into Minutemen and Meat Puppets and stuff, Britt and I were really into that. And the last song I wrote for Maurice was all clean guitar and sounded kind of jazzy, and the other guys hated it. And so they formed a different band, and then we started Flint, Britt and I.
Okay.
So the last Maurice song became the first Flint song.
Wow. Okay, evolution.
But it was all because I was inspired by D. Boone, myself, we
take responsibility.
Yeah.
No, you know what D. Boone said once? I remember him telling me, you know, we can play anything we want, just as long as it sounds like the Minutemen.
Awesome.
He would say shit like that.
Well, what does that
mean? Yeah, I love that. That's true.
Anything else?
And speaking of which, let's hear what some fucking Spin Cycles sounds like. Brother Matt,
cool.
We'll be talking to you in a little bit.
Yeah.
been December 20, 2022, second hour, Watch for Pedro Show, special guest David Pale. Hold tight for hour three. December 20, 2022. Hard to say that number. Third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
beat of a different drum. a last mirage of wonder. I'm pushing the limit of thunder. All I ever wanted was patience. Roots love and lacerated. I am not above being faded. Images of dead fish in a steady rhythm. Rest in an inch of a mile of a schism. Resistance is a given and last is a thing. The ideal of self-thought is gestation. The ability to think in summation. We have to resist the temptation of becoming a hallucination nation.
Wofford Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Papa M doing Shimmers. Then we had Room 204 out of France with the Chinese Pilot. Hacksaw Morissette from Shiverboard. This is live at the House of Yarga in Philadelphia, September 24, a couple months ago, 2022. Black Dots out of Texas with Hallucination Station. Now another French group, but Todd 34, like 34th floor. And Tenko, this great lady singer from Tokyo with Densit. I fucked up that pronounce, sorry, pardon. My hard own. And then finally, Pop Am with Roadrunner. What? Tell me about Pop Am.
Pop Am was like just my solo thing. It was, I didn't want to do it under my own name because I thought I wanted to do a solo thing where I played all the instruments and recorded it myself, but I also didn't want it to be like a vanity project. Like I wanted it to seem like it was a band. That was the idea initially, was that I would pretend that it was an actual band. And that it wasn't just me doing everything by myself.
Man alone. You know, yeah. Prince.
Solo in the
Dave Grohl. Yeah. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Prince. Time.
All that stuff. Yeah. They all started with the drums, right? And then they piled everything on top.
Yeah. Oh,
Rugrat did too. Yeah. Right. Right. The one man band thing is a trip. It really is. I have a lot of respect for it. Look, you probably have had to talk blue in the face about Slint. But so I ain't going to like have you get into it so much. But if you could talk about your Slint thing in a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so after, you know, we started with our Minutemen song, we ended up, the whole idea behind the band is that we just wanted to do music that was different from all the other stuff that was happening. Like, and we only thought locally, like all the other local bands were sounding like this or that. And we just wanted to not sound like any of them.
We're talking about Louisville, right?
In Louisville. Yeah. That was our only criteria, is that each song had to be different from the last song we wrote, and that it just had to feel you know, unique to us somehow. It wasn't really like that thought out, but that was just what we talked about a little bit at first. And then we recorded a record in 87 with Albini, actually, in Evanston, Illinois. And that was, recorded another record maybe 2 years later and broke up.
Did Maurice tour?
Just that one tour with Sam Hain. That was it.
Just open in for Sam Hain. So on your own, you start touring with Slint, right?
We did a short tour in 89. I mean, I even hate to call it a tour because we went to the East Coast and played a couple shows, then went back home. Then we went up north and played a couple shows and went back home. And then it was like two or three shows out at a time. How did you guys do it, I wonder, without booking it?
We learned from Black Flag, and Chuck Tukowski, the bass player, he literally built the scene we're still torn on, a lot of it, with his little phone book. He booked it all himself, and that's how we learned. Now, they did 100-gig tours. They did 4-month tours. I mean, they didn't start off that way, but they learned. That's where we learned, was from these guys. And in fact, our first tour, Saccharine Trust, Meat Puppets, it was actually in the boat with Black Flag. You're touring with these guys. Literally. 10 guys in one boat. Remember the red Chevy? It was Billy's boat. We destroyed it. 10 guys, you know, it was too much. The shit was in a trailer. I remember the trailer getting disconnected and going ahead of us on the side of the road into a river.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
They brought us to Europe, you know, they brought us on our first big national tour. So all our touring stuff was learned from the Black Flag guys. I wish they would get more credit for that. Like, people pretend like they don't even exist.
So it was like Tukowski would be like, oh, there's a cool guy in Memphis that will put on a show.
Here, I'll tell you the big fabric, David. The big fabric was fanzines.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, the guy who run the fanzine, he's going to find the pad you can play in. His band is probably going to open up. You're going to conk at his pad. The fanzines, because they were the true believers. They were the fabric that kept the scene together. Because you're right, it was very local. It was hard to know what was going on in everybody else's towns, you know?
And then the guy who writes the made the fanzine gets to meet his or like hang out with his favorite band.
Yeah, and open up the show with his band. You know, there was hardly any line between dudes in bands and dudes not in bands. Punk was really egalitarian that way. Everybody could be in a band or help put on a show or do something, run a label, you know, run a fan. Yeah. You know, it was all about being involved. Because this other world was all spectator. The Arena Rock, the Nuremberg Rally thing was total spectator. You're not involved at all. So we went the other way, where everybody's totally involved. To us, it wasn't like a new rock and roll. It was just like a new way of approaching life and being creative and artistic.
Yeah.
Look, you gave me another Papa M song, Sorrow Reigns. Kind of a bummer. Let's listen.
Sarah Jane. Sorrow rains blue, Sarah Jane. Sorrow rains blue. There was something like a wall between us that stopped your going down on my penis. The ghost of lovers past still await your response. Was I just a medium in your seance? I had to turn off all my feelings towards you, for I am not the one that rewards you. I'll be with other women, you'll be with other men. I can't help but wonder about what could have been. Sarah Jane, sorrow rains blue. You didn't love me the way I loved you.
all I ever wanted to do was violate the great American myth. I know I'm not big enough to destroy it. Life is a travesty. 1,000 pints of light falling from grace with the goose. Howard Hughes, a wing, a prayer. See below, we have clowns in our show. El Noche, la cerveza, the metal, the shaman brother. El Dumas, as cats walk backward. Clowns cover believable eyes in Joan of Arc's home court. Plastic dogs sample after the soldier in the rain, and I won't let her punch my line. Avenging, an angel steps through while my waking, still waking. A wish and a whisper, the walls have ears. My psychiatrist loves me. She won't understand an echo. A prayer from Brian Wilson's church, but Bone Jisms is a tenor man. And the guests came in through little funnels, dripping. Burning embers, red sky at midnight. Fade the black, moon tower, Dixieland. My cross, conveyor. Irrationality is bliss. Limeys don't eat tofu, airhead. Can I tie my shoe now, Jack? Worshipping volcanoes on virgin knees. My love for a bowl of chili. Oi, mate, would you be fancy in a cheese sandwich then? So maybe we're waiting for a heavy alloy savior? Ozzy? No corn in my horn, not where this bop drops. It's no fun looking for churches. Give me the heat, deep dish where the jets come down in jazz. Oh, angels dancing on the head of a pin. Kudo, rama shay shay, katama banana tasaya. Zen master sweet corn, watermelon colors the heavens song. Min. May, shiny, tweeter, deity, paranoia pretends eating jalapeno pot pie. Now, Alpha, not a trace of moss dripping Omega. Los Alamos, another roadside refraction. J. Robert Oppenheimer, Edward Teller, the physicists have known sin. Here in the midst of graveyards that push up light, I'll trade you 2 good Shirleys for 10,000 dead Midwestern Indians.
What the hell? I can dig your plot, man.
17 cases that I'm sure feeling fine, except for when 6 turns out to be 9. For a good time, call 392-8381. Ask for charity, sweetly. For a better time, don't call. Let your fingers do the talking. Gain, loss, nothing more than something less. Sizzle the pants right off of me. Sizzle that neo-orthodoxy right into my what the hell? The whole gelatinous thing. The neo-gelatinous thing. The Neolithic gelatinous thing. It's all water under the meter bridge now. Life is a travesty, more than an old joke. We'll be right back.
talk about dancing to the beat of a different drum. Dancing to the beat of a different drum.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start that chunk off with Sour Rains. Sorrow Rains. Papa M. Then If Moana, Tutu. That's also, right? Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. Beautiful. Spotsky, my old buddy, right, who recorded those early Minutemen records. He didn't record Joy. That was Mike Patton. He's living in Athens now, Georgia. But Spotsky's up in the Sheboygan, Michigan. He just put out a release of music. You know, he can play guitar and fiddle. And he calls it Fedola. And so this is Too Wise to Crack. And then Chip Kittman, who's gone pewter, electronic dance music now. He was the guitar man for the Dills, right? I Hate the Rich. Right? Now he's Will the Circle Be Unbroken, but the trippiest version. Yeah, don't get the port of, break out the port of yet. And then finally, Ariel M. with Wedding Song Number 3. Hip us to Ariel M. There, David. David?
Oh, yeah.
Ariel M.
Oh, that was just when I was, when I did my solo stuff, I just wanted to, I was looking for a name for the band, and I didn't want a normal name. I just wanted like a,
kind of like Pop AM. It's a variation.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted the letter M, like, because I like the shape of the letter M, and I didn't want it, and I was. So
dude,
I
know what you mean, because my initials are MW, so you can read them upside down.
MMM. MMM, I can relate.
Yeah, that makes a great logo.
And Melinda Marilyn, my mom named us all three with M, so we can be MW.
Like a lightning bolt or something.
Okay, and what's your plan right now, music wise?
Right now, I'm still playing. I'm playing with Gang of Four. I'm playing guitar with them, and we're just getting some shows.
And they got John, right?
Because
John went back after Andy. We lost Andy, right? Mm. And so John comes and takes the band because Andy was doing it with him alone. Now it's John alone. Man, I got to talk to him, and they went on right before the Stooges. And this Italian gig at an Italian high school up in the north, playing Milano. Sweaty as a motherfucker. And it hurt my knee. I'm on the crutches. And John says to me, yeah, I fucked up my knee too. I had to have surgery. I said, yeah. I said, man, I ain't seen you. You're singing and dancing great. I ain't seen you since the Cuckoo's Nest. And he goes, oh, yeah, you and nine other people. And I said, yeah. And with D. Boone. He goes, D. Boone? I said, yeah. He goes, Minutemen. Yeah. He remembered that gig, and he remembered the Minutemen. He's really nice to me, John King. So when you see him again, David, tell him thank you for being so kind to this crippled Pedro fucking bass. And, he always had a good voice, and he always wrote trippy lyrics. He was always a great dancer. He used to play some melodica, too. I remember yeah, he got a melodica, and then Andy went to the drums, and the drummer man, Hugo, who I know, he came out and sang. It's Her Factory. Yep. Her Factory.
Oh, It's Her Factory, yeah. We actually practiced that one, and I got to play drums again, which is great.
I really like that little red Fast Records, their first single. It's an anthrax. He's telling you how make a record, right? On one side of the speaker, the other side, it's this disease that cows get.
Yeah.
It's so weird because the only other people I know that did that was Velvet Underground with Lady Godiva's Operation. Right? There's two different songs going on. There's this one word that Lou says really loud in it. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so music wise, you're with the Gang of Four. That must be tricky.
Yeah, and I'm just focusing on that.
So do you have a tour coming up?
Well, yeah, it's kind of based, John King's wife has to have some surgery in next month.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, and he's the only caretaker, so everything is kind of based around whether,
priorities.
It's all around, we're having surgeries and stuff, so we have to book our tours around stuff like
that. Quite aware of that, less younger thing, get more feeble. You get less younger, but the bonus thing, get more feeble.
More addled.
More addled.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's fun.
So, people, if you want to see what David's doing, go to the Gang of Four. Put that in the search engine. They probably, John's got a website probably and stuff like that. There's no David Pajo website, is there?
No.
One day you will have one, because it's like having your own fanzine, though.
I'm not a self-promoter, though. I never was.
You might, because, you know, just like having your own fanzine, you won't write about yourself. You write about the bands you like.
That's right. I used to have fans. I loved having a band.
And, you know, when you get some more of your own music, I know John's going to give you a break of Gang of Four stuff, and you'll get me ready to do some David Pao stuff. You know, I actually asked David to do an album with Britt. No luck. But when you do, will you come back on the show and we can play that music and you can talk about it? Because I'd love to have you back on.
That would be an honor, as once again.
Okay. Thank you so much, David. True.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Keep on keeping on. Peebo, it's been the December 20, 2022 edition of the Walk for Peebo Show. Snap 65.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Don't try to avoid the giant. Keep your power dry.
Yeah.